For the past 5 Sundays, we've been looking at ways of being a witness for Jesus. We said at Easter that when Jesus rose from the dead, he gave us the commission and he said, go tell everyone what's happened. And we've been looking at different ways we can be a witness for Jesus. Does anybody remember one of the ways? Sharing your story, yes. Sharing your story of how God has changed your life and how God is in your life. It's a powerful, powerful way of being a witness for Jesus. Sharing your story. Anybody else? Being bold, which is part of praying for opportunities. So we pray for boldness to be able to share our story, to be able to share God's story. We pray for openness, that the person we're talking to is open to hear and receive that as well. So yeah, praying for opportunities, testimony, anything else? Sorry? Being different. You're kind of tapping into what I'm going to be saying today. So you've probably had a prophetic insight. Yeah, being different. Yes, being different to other people. Do we remember when we spoke about being chosen? Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Remember that when I talk about football team and captains and how they choose players back then, growing up? And that we've been authorized to share our story as well. Then we also talked about Paul. Do you remember Paul and Barnabas? The partnership, how we tag team with others in sharing our story. So yeah, thank you. You remember. So today we'll be looking at the mindset of a witness. What is the mindset of a witness? But because it's a Connect service, it's not going to be me just preaching. It's going to be us interacting. Is that okay? You like that? Okay. Is the slide coming up? So we're looking at the mindset of a witness. Next slide, please. So we're going to be looking at two clips that would help us discuss what it means to have the mindset of a witness. Can we look at clip one, the one that says touch of love? Thank you. I was just remembering that we've not collected the offering yet. And I saw the basket passing like, we've not got the offering yet. So we'll do the offering at some point. Okay, can we go back to the slides and do the first text today? Can we all see that? So our first text is from Acts chapter 8, verses 1 to 8. This is particularly from the Living Bible. If you have Bibles, you could follow through in front of you. But I'll read it out so that we just follow. So Paul was in complete agreement with the killing of Stephen. And a great wave of persecution of the believers began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and everyone except the apostles fled into Judea and Samaria. But some godly Jews came and with great sorrow buried Stephen. Paul was like a wild man, going everywhere to devastate the believers, even entering private homes and dragging out men and women alike and jailing them. But the believers who had fled Jerusalem went everywhere preaching the good news about Jesus. Philip, for instance, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about Christ. Crowds listened intently to what he had to say because of the miracles he did. Seems to have been repeating some of the words, but many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left victims, and many who were lame and paralyzed were healed, and so there was great joy in the city. That's the last verse. There was great joy in the city. Now, have we all seen Sister Act? both 1 and 2. So it's not strange to us, okay? Now, does anybody remember what happened up until that point? No, it's been a long time. The nuns never came out of the convent. They were insular, yes. They never came out of the building. They pretty much did everything. Their worship, their life was behind the four walls. And so, Sister Mary Clarence, as Dolores was called, took them out of their comfort zone. But prior to that, how did she get into the convent in the first place? Witness protection. She'd witnessed the murder. Her boyfriend, who owned the casino, had done something to somebody else and taken that person's life. And she saw that. So she had to run for her life. And the police took her to where she would never be found. Imagine that, of church. And they put her in church. So, in a way, just like the believers fled Jerusalem when persecution came, Dolores fled at the threat to her life. Now, when you flee from something, what will be your natural response when you get to a place of safety? Quiet. You want to keep a low profile. You probably don't want anybody to know where you are. So what happened to Dolores? She did the exact opposite. She was meant to be quiet. She was meant to be in hiding. Well, she changed the nuns, yeah. So she was meant to be in witness protection because she witnessed something. But then something in her wanted to give witness in a different way. Philip fled persecution. Paul was a wild man. The Apostle Paul we so talked so much about today. Before he got converted, he was a wild man. And he went, dragged believers out of their houses, put them in jail. He approved when they stoned Stephen to death. In fact, he took all the clothes of those who were stoning them and he held their clothes and was like, watching what was happening. And yet, Philip could have gone to Samaria and just said, God, I'm safe. But no, he went preaching everywhere. It was like, ain't no stopping this guy. I'm going to keep talking about this. And what happened to the city? Boom. Transformation. What happened to the community? Something changed. If those guys who were graffitiing had been, if it had been before, guess who would have been arresting them? The police. Well, the sisters joined them. Yeah. So what Bob was saying is that it's very difficult to get somebody who is extrovert, who is out there, to now come into a place and be insular, introvert, and comport. It doesn't work like that. So Philip equally did like Dolores and continued. And because he did not shrink in fear, God worked through that and touched the entire region. The entire city was filled with joy. So let's bear that in mind. Let's keep that in mind. Can we watch clip 2? So that's from the sequel, our sister act 2. Now, situation is slightly different here. Does anybody remember, as if you've seen it, what was that all about? Lauryn Hill, yeah, the Miss Watson, is Lauryn Hill, a famous singer. But what was going on there? Why was she being hard towards them? Does anybody remember? Why was she being hard, Mary Clarence, the sister, the reverend sister? Why was she being hard? She was being realistic with them. Yeah. Sorry, we said something. Okay. It was a failing school. It was a failing school. The school was on its last legs. And that class in particular was where they put all the failing students. So no teacher survived that class. They would give you a hard time. So when she first went in, you know, they saw her, oh, reverend sister. So they took a mic, you know, and they even put glue on her chair. So she sat in and she was glued. So they played pranks on her. So she came in, okay, this is business. Let's sort things out. Because they were told they were a failing class. And they accepted it. And that's why she said, we love the old way. Do you remember when she stood up? She said, we don't want anything new. We love the old way. The old way suits us better. But then she saw that some of them were saying, hey, this is the only hope I've got. You know, to make something out of myself. So we've watched two clips. But before we discuss any further, can we have the second reading, please? Now, this is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The reading is from verse 16 to 23, but this particular chunk is from verse 19 to 23 from the Message translation. And it says this. So this is Paul, the Paul we talked about earlier, now writing as an apostle to the church in Corinth. And he said this, even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people, religious, non-religious, meticulous moralists, loose-living immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I have become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did all this because of the message. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. I just didn't want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. In the King James Version, or probably the New International Version that we use here, he says, I wanted to become all things to all people. So that at least I might get some of them to hear the message. So, based on what we've seen so far from those two clips, especially the second one, what did Sister Mary Clarence do out of that? If you remember the whole movie now, sorry. If you remember the whole movie, how did he end up for that class? Do you remember? Sorry? Yes. Yes. She found some, what was the common ground? Music. One thing that kept that class going was music. They loved to rap, they loved to dance, they loved to sing. And she, coming from a musical background, saw a common point. And she entered into that world through that avenue. And what happened? They started to have belief in themselves. The failing class now started to be a class of purpose. They started to rehearse. They started to practice. They started to sing before people. And something started to change. So much so that they entered into a competition. And they won it. And the money they won helped the school. And and change the fortunes of the school. I mean, to be honest, if you were a teacher and you had that class on your first day, what would you have thought about? I ain't going back there. Out of bounds for me. I'm not going back to that class. No chance. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So yeah, yeah. Caroline said it began with respect. Because she wasn't there saying, I'm your teacher, you must listen to me. She wanted to connect with them. So she respected them. Yeah. 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 Just understanding what connects. Mm. Well, streetwise, yeah. 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 Books. Yeah. Yeah. So she found a way of connecting with them. Rather than coming through formal structures, she used informal ways of connecting with them. Okay. So let's look at the next slide, please. So we find that there are two mindsets that determine our approach to life. There's a fixed mindset and there's a growth mindset. For those of us in education or who have kids in school, you probably will have heard teachers say, your kid has a growth mindset in this subject. You know, that means they're developing, they're changing their attitude towards it, and it's showing in their grades. So a fixed mindset comes about as a result of life's experiences, and we make conclusions based on that. I can never be this, or I'll never amount to this, or I always fail at this. Like those kids, they thought, we've never had it good anyway, so what's going to change? And if anybody came to give them hope, guess what? They reject it. Because of a fixed mind, they said, don't come and raise our hopes here, because they're going to be dashed again. So look at some of the things in the fixed mindset. Failure is the limit of my abilities. I'm either good at it or I'm not. I stick to what I know. When I'm frustrated, I give up. You know, my abilities are unchanging. And unconsciously, we all have had fixed mindsets over certain things. But I'm never good at that. I'm not good at remembering names. There was I think I said that too. You know? And it's easy for us to slip into those beliefs. It's very easy because in psychology, there's an Erikson psychosocial development. And Erikson said there are stages of development. And if a child does not properly go through each stage, they can become fixated. So even though they are physically growing, they're not mentally developing. They're not emotionally developing. So you have an adult who is probably still acting like a child. Or making poor decisions because they have not grown successfully through those psychosocial stages. So that's how we all arrive at fixed mindsets. And the truth is, we all have had fixed mindsets. We probably still have fixed mindsets. And some fixed mindsets are good, especially when they align with values, when they align with principles. So we're not saying they are totally bad. But more often than not, negative fixed mindsets dominate us, dominate our attitude to life. But there's hope, because those mindsets can change. The mind is like hard ground. But if you keep at it and you plow through, you will soften it. And then you're able to plant seeds. And then it's able to grow and bring forth flowers and fruit. So the mind can be plowed. But it needs to be plowed. You need to reframe your thoughts. That's why in Romans 12, Paul said, look, do not conform to the world, but be transformed. In other words, change your form by the renewing of your mind, the reframing of your thoughts. Then you may be able to prove what is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect from God. So a few examples of a growth mindset. Challenges help me to grow. My effort and attitude determine my abilities. I like to try new things. Failure is an opportunity to grow. So if growth mindset is not denying, a growth mindset is not settling. It's not settling and saying, this is it. As long that there's a saying, as long as there is life, there is hope. There's another saying from Ecclesiastes, a living dog is better than a dead lion. Have you heard that before? Even Bob Marley sang about it. A living dog is better than a dead lion. First of all, from the Bible. So we have these two verses. So what was the fixed mindset in the church before she joined them? Stay safe, stay inside. Nobody's coming to the church. Hey ho, we're always a small church. Yeah, good. This is what we do. Yeah, sorry. Thank you, Cafe. But that's how they were trained, isn't it? They were trained that your spiritual life. Yeah, you don't interact, you know, you don't mix with the world. So stay here. Do your rhythms of life here. You know. So what was the growth mindset? So they started to step out. Remember when she went to work with them as a choir the first time? The sopranos were singing really, really high. The altos were barely singing, you know, and it sounded like cymbals clashing. And then she sorted them out, and then they started to practice. What happened at the end? Who came to see them? The Pope. Even the Pope came to see them. Yeah, amazing, amazing. But the essence of that was that something started to change. And the moment the community saw that they were not standoffish, what started happening? People started coming into the church. Yeah. No, they weren't. In a way, yes. Yeah. And the mother superior thought she was a threat at one point. She's taking my job. Yeah. So purpose came into it. So, okay, for the students, for the young people, what was the fixed mindset? And what was the growth mindset? We can change. We can change. You know. Very quickly, some young people we spoke to some weeks back, saw some of them down a few days ago. And the moment, you know, they remembered who I was, one of them said, oh, I'm on the right track now. I'm doing the right thing now. Because he knew that was what I wanted to hear. It's like, I'm on the right track now. And his friend said, nah, he's lying. But it's good that he's thinking that way, though. It's good that he's thinking that there's a right way from what he's doing currently. You know? But the way he just quickly said it, I'm on the right track now. I'm on the right. I said, nah, he's lying. You know. But God wants us to have a growth mindset. Be fixed in certain things that are true and unchanging. But in relating to people, in connecting with people, have a growth mindset. Last slide. So let's look at what some of the things Paul shared with us that will help us in reframing our mindset. The first thing is intentionality. Remember, he said, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. So there's an intentionality there. When we start to become more intentional, it jars against our fixed mindsets. When we start to think intentional, it jars against our fixed mindset of not wanting to do it. And it, over time, it starts to shift. A can-do attitude starts to arise in us. Identity. Now, when you mix with people, two things happen. It's either they start to see something in you that they want to emulate, or you start to see something in them. It rubs off one way or the other. So don't lose who you are in trying to reach others. It could be very, very unpleasant. So don't say, oh, because they're smoking weed, I'll hang out with them and I'll have a sniff. No. You should know who you are. Don't lose your sense of identity. You can do many things with them that does not conflict with your identity. Yes. But then, yeah. You could take it too far and then lose what the purpose for which you're connecting with people. Yeah. Okay, let's go on. Incarnation. That word means how God became flesh, isn't it? Jesus came because God decided to come and identify with us. He came into our world. Paul said, I entered into their world and I wanted to see things from their own perspective. Without losing my identity. So we need to step into people's worlds. Say, Lord, help me to just know where they're coming from. And oftentimes, when God reveals that to you and you share that with them, it opens them up. It opens the door for conversation. Flexibility. He said, every sort of servant. I've become everything. He said to those who were under the law, even though I'm not under the law, I acted as if I was under the law. To the Jew, I became as a Jew, even though I'm free as a Jew. To those who are not Jews, I became as one who is not a Jew, even though I'm not bound by their law. You know, he was just having a flexible approach to reaching people. Influence, my attempt to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I just want some of them to get to know that Jesus died for them. I just want them to see that God has rescued them. Whatever happens in the course of events, I just want them to see that. And then the last one, he said, I just don't want to talk about it. I want to be in on it. I want to be fully immersed in it. I want my message to be my lifestyle. My lifestyle to be my message. They say, practice what you preach. But I want to practice what I preach. So some of the things that Paul shares from his own story, and which is common to most people who change their mindset, you have to have that intentionality, sense of identity. You have to enter into their world. But you know, she entered into the classroom, but she wasn't in there with jeans or with chains. She went with her nun thing. But she knew who she was. And she knew that was not a barrier. So I just want us to spend a few moments praying and saying, Lord, what are those fixed mindsets that are hindering me? What are those mindsets that are fixed mindsets that are helping me? And for those ones that are hindering me, how can I convert them to growth mindsets? Let's just spend a few moments praying.